Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Aleph, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah towards the top. So continuing on with the particular dinim of the Ben Soru Moreh, we spoke about what it is that he has to have done in terms of Zolel V'Sovei, but we haven't gotten to the element that we were sure was necessary to show that he was going to engage in a life of melastemus abrias because he can't support his habit. There has to be an indication of that in his meisim as well. And therefore, it needs to be that what it is that he ate, he used stolen funds to buy. So, ganav mishal aviv ve'achal b'rashut aviv. So, say he stole his father's money and he ate in the rashus of his father, hoping his father wouldn't catch on. Or he stole from other people, and he ate in their rishos. Or he stole from other people, and he ate in his father's rishos. In all of these cases, as the Gemara will explain, he's not considered to be a ben sorer moreh, unless ad shiignov mishal aviv v'yochal b'rishut achirim. He needs to steal from money that's going to be easily available for him to steal, which is always sneaking in and taking out of his father's wallet, and eat in a place where his father's not going to catch him, so he's in someone else's rishus. It's not enough to steal from his father. Because since we see in the pasuk that everything that takes place with the ben sorer u'moreh, as we're going to see, has to be with both father and mother, saying the same things and having the same commitment to bringing their son in and getting him knocked off. Now, it has to be that he stole both from his father and from his mother. Okay, so let's explain the three opening cases and why it is that he would not be a ben sorer u'moreh. Gonav mishal aviv, v'achal b'rashut aviv. So I understand that that would be a indication that he'll continue going along this path in the sense that it's easy to find money to steal from his father. But, even though the money is available, he is afraid that his father is going to catch him in eating all this stuff and analyze where'd you get the money for all of this. And ultimately, he's not going to feel that much at ease to continue his lifestyle. On the other hand, if he stole money from other people and he eats it in their rishos, it's true that he's not much worried about his father figuring out what's going on, but on the other hand, it's not that easy to catch possibilities where other people's money can be easily stolen. So there too, we don't see it as being the beginning of a lifestyle. And for sure, if it was both the money was mishal acherim, we're over there, it's not so easily available, and he ate what he bought with it in Rishus Aviv. We're over there, he's frightened of his father, and there it's both, he's got both chesronos, lo shchiachle, that money is not easily available, and it's loba, he's also ba'it, he's afraid that his father's going to catch him. So this is something that is going to prevent him from feeling perfectly at ease with the life that he's leading, and therefore it's less likely to be addictive. He has to be gonev mishal aviv, the yochal b'rashut acherim, that over there the money is easily found and stolen, and because he's in a different rishus, he's not nervous about his father finding out. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yedaimer, it's not enough to steal from his father, he has to be gonev both mishal aviv u'mishal imo. But the question is, a woman normally doesn't own her own money, because all part of the money that she brings into the arrangement of the marriage, it becomes nichsei tzon barzel, which she actually dedicated to the marriage, or it's nichsei beluk, which technically belongs to her, but which her husband controls. So where would she have money that was just liquid money that she has available that her son would steal, that the father wouldn't, it would not be the father's money? Don't we say normally that ma shekanta isha kana ba'ala? Well, look, the truth is that obviously there's lots of answers to this question. We could easily say that it would be going according to the Mandi Omar, that you can opt out of Takanas Chachomi, and therefore she can opt out of her support from her husband and keep her own bank accounts and so on. We could say that it's talking about before they actually went to the chuppah. We could say it's talking about where they'd made a tznai lechatchila, that there wasn't going to be whatever. It's not much of a question, but the Gemara wants to just choose an approach that's going to be easy for us to see as a norm, since the Mishnah seems to take it as a norm that there would be what to steal. Rabbi Hanina, well, all necessarily would have to be is that there's a meal that was prepared here, and his parents ordered a meal from a restaurant. The meal is sitting there, and he goes and he steals the meat from there and the wine from there. No, that's not good, because we said, Amr Chana Bar Molada yesterday, Amr Avuna, that he's only going to be chayiv if he gets a good deal on this stuff. Now, stealing the food directly is not included in that. We need to see that he's a kid that can handle himself, make the kind of deals that would make it possible for him to continue with this life of crime. And stealing restaurant food that's sitting on the table is not what we're talking about. It has to be basar b'zol v'yishteh. It has to be yayin b'zol v'yishteh. So that can't be the case. Okay. So you know what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda was talking about? He didn't mean the actual food from the restaurant. He meant that there was d'meis udam v'chenet l'aviv l'imo. His father had set aside this money, and since his father is responsible for the food of his mother, so that money that was for the seudah of both is considered to be the money that's owned by both of them. Or you could simply say that it's talking about a case, the aknila acher, another person gave her money with a specific condition, the Omarla Amanacha in Lavalech Rashutban. I'm giving this to you on condition that your husband can't take over these funds. So if the husband tries to take over the fund, then the funds are not hers. So then it becomes a catch-22 in which he effectively prevents the husband from having control to it. And now we're ready for Sir Richard. Let's try that cue again.
You may be ready for Sir Richard, but Sir Richard is not.
That's wonderful, Sir Richard. We're in this together. Never forget. I'm not doing all that great myself, so go ahead. Now, suppose we've gotten through what he has to eat, and how it is that he eats it, what the conditions are, what the prices are, where he got the money. Now we're up to the point that the parents are going to be bringing him in to Beis Din. So suppose Haya Aviv Rotzev Imo Eino Rotzah, the father wants him to be a Ben Soromor, and the father goes to complain about him to the Beis Din, but the mother doesn't want to go along. Or vice versa. Suppose the mother wants to get rid of him, but the father doesn't want to go along. In either of these cases, unless both of his parents want them, the child to be the ben sorer more, all of this would have been medayik from the psukim. Reb Yudai Meir, im lo aita imo ruuya l'aviv, if his mother is not a perfect fit for his father, now the Gemara is going to explain that in a most extraordinary fashion, and it's going to turn out to be very different than we thought. I mean, we assumed that Reb Yudah meant that the marriage is for some reason a prohibited marriage. So why would it be prohibited? Would it be that the Torah gave that relationship a chiyuv of kares, and it's one of the arayot? Or maybe it's chayve mitod beitin. Well, I mean, why would the legality of the marriage be important? The Torah never mentions marriage. The Torah mentions aviv ve'imo. And this is aviv biologically, and this is imo. And nowhere did we see any indication that aviv ve'imo have to be legally married. What Reb Yudah must have meant is that she's not a perfect fit for the father. That means in terms of her body. And indeed, the Braita says the most extraordinary thing, that Reb Yudah Omer, im lo ha'ita, this is Reb Yudah Shita as he brings it out in the Braita, im lo ha'ita imo shavala aviv. if she isn't similar to the father. And that's what he means here by Ru'uya. She has to have the same voice that the father has. She has to look the same as the father. She has to be the same height as the father. And if not, Eino Nase Ben Sora Umore. Why? My taima, that's Gzirat HaKatuv. The Omar Kra, Einenu Shomea Bikolenu. Our voice? It's our voices? I mean, you're assuming over here that Bikolenu, if it would have been talking about our voices, which is what it should say, then it would have said, Bikolenu with a yud, or Bikolotenu, whatever, but Kolenu is as if we speak with one voice. So, Mirakol Be'inan Shavim, if the Torah is saying that they need to be one individual as far as the child is concerned, then Mar'e Ve'Komel Nami Be'inan Shavim. And that is basically absurd, as we all understand. What are the chances of such a thing ever happening? And therefore, Kaman Ozva Hadatana, what about this brayta that says, a Ben Sarah Mora, it's a joke. Lo Aya V'Latid Liyot. There never was such a thing. There never will be such a thing. V'lama Nichtav, why did the Torah write up this whole parsha of a Ben Sarah Mora when it isn't going to happen? It's simply not practical. That's because Drosh V'Kabel Sachar. The Torah wants you to be dorish the implications of Ben Sora Umura, to understand the nature of addiction and to understand the various elements that go into addiction and to talk about understanding the way that parental influence can make a difference in the entire direction of the life of a child and so on and so forth. So if you get to the bottom of all of these halachas, the meaning of the mitzvahs of the Torah are not necessarily that they have to be specifically put into effect in that fashion. The drisha of all of the Torah is a drisha that leads you to be able to deal with an infinity of situations. Actually, it's a very beautiful application to this. Let me see if I can find... Yes. Yeah, I have. It's amazing. This is our contemporary world. It's not quite contemporary because this is from the 70s, but it was in the 70s that the current fun standards in the yeshivas started turning towards drugs. Now, in those days, it was just marijuana. So anyway, Reb Meisha, believe it or not, has a whole tshuva about are yeshiva bochrim allowed to have marijuana? So, of course, but I mean, he's a very, very sharp letter. But the things that he goes through are learning from the Inyanim of Ben Sora Umura, and he completely osers any type of behavior that could be addictive. Of course, among many other reasons, he osers. It's very sweet to say, to see how he puts it, you know. He made bidvar asher hitchilu eze bachurim meha yeshiva la'ashem chashish marijuana, he writes in parentheses. And so on. But he brings, of course, the sugya over here. So, I mean, this, as we'll see, is Nogea, the Gemara, as we're going to come along and understand the meaning of Drosh V'Kabosar. Kiman Kirebi Yehuda. This, clearly, when we say it'll never happen, I mean, how can you be sure that it'll never happen? Because, I mean, the type of things that Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah are necessary. These are conditions that need to be met that are ridiculous conditions. Where do you have a man and a woman who are married to each other who have the same voice? What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean they look the same? I mean, okay, they say married couples, you know, get to start looking like each other. But I mean, ad kedei kach, that they're shoving b'mara and it's the same koma? That's like Rabbi Yehuda. So since the Tnaim over here are never going to happen, it must be that it was only in terms of Drosh V'Kabel Sachar. You know what? There's another possibility. Maybe it's not because of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's because of Rabbi Shimon. As Rabbi Shimon points out, to Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon, V'chim yipnei shachal zeh, tartem arbosar, v'shotach hatzilug yayin ha'italki. I just ask you to think about this as a parent. Do you honestly believe, because a kid has been acting like a juvenile delinquent, okay, you know, so he's got a bad lifestyle. Mommy and daddy are always looking for ways in which he's really a good boy deep down, and he's for sure not going to continue in this path. And so you honestly believe that you will ever find Avi ve'imo motzino to l'saklo? You're going to find parents bringing a kid into court where he might get stoned? It's ridiculous. Ela lo haya v'lo atid liyo. This is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's simply because of the psychology. Nobody is going to accept the Teres Ma'amar of Nidan Hashem Sofo. Well, parent always believes that somehow or other at the end it's going to work out. The fact that the Torah gives these simonim for the nature of addiction and that it's saying it's not going to work out is not going to change people's mind. And therefore, we have to agree, says Rabbi Shimon, lo haya v'lo atid liyot. Such a thing could never happen and never did happen. In which case, lo manichtav, drosh v'kabel sachar. Omar Rabbi Yonatan, ani re'itiv. I don't know what you mean, drosh v'kabel sachar. I saw Ben Sora Umura, and I sat right there on his grave. So he sure as heck died. So I don't know why you're saying it never occurred. We find exactly the same question. And just very surprisingly, it's Rabbi Yonatan among all humans in all times who was just the guy who saw what was never going to happen and was right there. Most amazing. Our very own Forrest Gump. Kaman Ozlo Hadatanya. So who is this price of going according to? Irani Dachat Lo Haita Vlo Atidaliyot. There never was an Irani Dachat, and there never will be an Irani Dachat. And the only reason that the Torah writes up the whole story of Irani Dachat, Drosh Rekabel Sachar, it's only for you to be Derish and get the Sachar, which doesn't mean that we need extra parshas to get Sachar for Limud HaTorah, obviously. It's got to mean drosh v'kabel sachar in some other way, which we'll see in a moment. So come on, that would be going aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer said to the Tanya, if a city had even one single mezuzah in that whole city, it could not become an ir nidachat. Ein anaseit ir nidachat, because you're mechuyev to gather everything together, and you're supposed to burn it in the rechov asher ir, but you're not allowed to burn a mezuzah. It is bound to be a mezuzah somewhere in the city, right? Later on, when we get the actual sugi of Yerni Dachat, we'll ask the obvious question about why wouldn't we say Yavo Ese V'Yitchalota Ese? Or why wouldn't we darshan the pasuk Shlala V'lo Shlal Shamayim? And we wouldn't gather the Shlal Shamayim. That we'll discuss later on in the Masechet. But the point is that here, too, why does he say my time? That's obvious, because Omar Kravet Kol Shlala Tikbot Sotoch Rechova V'Sarafta Be'esh. But if it's a mezuzah, you can't gather everything V'Sarafta Be'esh. Lo Efshar. Dichtiv Lo Tasun Kein LaShem Elokechem. It says Beferish in the Pasuk, after telling you the terrible things to completely destroy of the Goyim, rip it out, smash it, destroy it, as we saw before, the next pasuk says, but don't do that, L'Hashem Elokeichem, which means that you have to be careful not to cause something that was Nikra Hashem, Hashem Alav, that has Kedusha in the writing of Hashem, like a mezuzah, you're not allowed to burn. And, of course, comes along Omar Rabbi Yonatan, well, I actually saw an Irani Dachat, and I even sat right there on the pile of all of the torn up pieces and ashes of that Irani Dachat. Now, I think we'll agree that it's highly unlikely that Rabbi Yonatan really was Forrest Gump, and that all of these things in history, they all happen around Rabbi Yonatan. And even when he says he saw it, we don't say, okay, so I guess it's a mistake. He certainly didn't make up the story, did he? So what in the world would be going on? I suspect that the inyan is that Rabbi Yonatan is pointing out that this drosh v'kabel sachar, what it actually means is that the application of the structure of these dinim and the way that actual contemporary society works out is not an abstraction. It is totally real. So, of course, you won't find a Ben Sora Amora in this way, but haven't we all seen plenty of Ben Sora Amora? Haven't we all seen plenty of Ben Sora Umora who ended up dying, destroying themselves? Maybe we even attended the funeral. So that's what Yonatan is saying. That this is not, it's all very nice to think about it in religious terms, drosh v'kabel schar, but that's not what it means. The drish and kabel schar in terms of the Torah is that you actually see the events around you embedded in all of the life and all of your life experiences. So he says the same thing, the gabi the irani dachat. You see what happens in a city when the media start believing things and when an entire society goes totally to hell, because of the fact that there's a Mesi to Media, and they're ready to believe the most incredible things that you would swear that no intelligent people, person would ever believe, and it destroys an entire society. That, I think, is what Rabbi Yonatan is saying. I personally can attest to the fact I saw it all, and this is real stuff. Kimar Nazlo Hadatanya, there's another brayta that speaks about something that would never have happened. Bayit HaMenuga, Lo haya velo atid lihiyot. There ain't no such thing as a house that has tzarat. And the only reason it was written, lama nichtav, drosh vekabel sachar. The way you want to find out, the way that Lashon Hara destroys things from the inside and rots them out, that's drosh vekabel sachar. So, but why do you say it couldn't happen? I don't understand. Ah, that would be going like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Because the Mishnah in the Goyim says, that Aliba the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the Olamein Abayet Tamei, Ad Sheyera'e Kishtei Grisin, Al Shtei Avanim, Bishtei Kitolim, Bekeren Zavit, Orko Bishtei Grisin, Vrochbo Kigris. Now this we'll see in a moment, comes from the drasha of Kirot Habayit versus the pasuk of Bekir Habayit. And therefore, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, he learns that you need to have a actual sign of Tzorat up against a corner in which the same nega crosses two kirot, one on one side and one on the opposite right angle. And therefore, it's so unlikely that we would see a gris extending that way across a corner, which would mean that it's orko kishnei gris. And since the minimum shear of tzarat is a gris by a gris, it's like one barley, and it's one next to the other, what are the chances of such a thing happening? Where does Rebbe Elazar get that from, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon? Well, the Torah seems to contradict itself. It says, V'ine ha-nega b'kirot habayit. And then it says, Umar eim shafal min ha-kir. Now, what is it? Is it a kir or is it kirot? Is it a wall or is it walls? Well, says Rebbe Elazar, I'll tell you. It is a kir, it's like a single wall, but it's the equivalent of two walls, which means it's referring to a corner where two walls join up to become, at that corner, they are, you can't say which one this is, it's the corner of those two walls. Tanya Omar Rabbi Eliezer Barabbi Tzadok, I can tell you that there definitely was a Bayit HaMenugah. And you want to know what area in the world a Bayit HaMenugah would show up in? Gaza. Exactly, in Gaza. If you want to take a look at how destructive tzaraz can be, Makom haya b'tchum Gaza, which proves, by the way, that Gaza is part of Eretz Yisrael, because there's no din of Bayit HaMenugah in Chutz La'aretz. So there was this place in the area of Gaza. V'ayu korin oto churvata segirta. And everybody called it the Hezger. Hezger, of course, is a tzaraz. The Hezger house that was torn apart. Amar Rabbi Shimon ish kfar Akko. I can tell you one time, I was walking through the Galil, pam achat halachti leGalil, and I found past a place that people were walking by, and they had the markers there. They put up a sign. Remember, there's a halacha that places that are tamei need to be marked in different ways. So graves are marked with whitewash scattered over the area. Anyway, over here, there was a mokum that they showed it to be tamei, and it said that there were avanim menugaot pinulasham, that those it were tamei because of the fact that avanim from a Bayit HaMenugah. So there's got to have been a reality to this Bayit HaMenugah. And now, further requirements for Ben Sorer Moreh, from the one individual who you'd swear was going to be the ultimate Ben Sorero Moré and ended up being our very own guide in the set of Richie. Go ahead, Rich. What did they say when you were running around on those motorcycles shooting up the town? What did they say when you were feeding all of those kids pizzas with the very marijuana that we were talking about before? Huh? What did they say? Hey, they said, yeah, that was. Okay. So, and I can attest to the fact.
I have a lumad that I think we should start with L.A., considering that L.A. seems to be the wedding clause already.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So you're also ready to. Okay. So you're ready to attest that you saw the Ir HaNidachat all on your own. Okay. Well, I know as I walk down the street over here on King George, people stop and say, this is where Richie's was. Okay. So I wonder if that's the same as this Gemara. Go ahead, Rich. That's for sure. Go ahead. Thank you. So if one of these parents was a chiger, one of them is has a hand missing, or one of them has a leg missing, or he's an ilam, he can't speak, or he's blind, he's a soma, or he's deaf, he's a cheresh. In all of these cases, the boy could not become a Ben Sorero Moré. Because look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'tafsuvo aviv imo. His father and mother have to grab him. Well, if they don't have their hands handy, then they're not going to be able to do much grabbing. So apparently, they have to have hands. V'otzioto, they have to drag him out. Well, if they can't walk, and they're chigrim, how could they drag him out? And it says they have to say to the court, V'amru, so then they can't be ilmim. And they have to say, B'neinu zeh. If you say zeh, it means you're pointing to him. But if they're blind, how could they point to him? So therefore, they can't be blind. And he says, E'neinu shomea b'koleinu, he doesn't listen to us. But that would mean that they're able to judge his response at the time, so they can't be chereshim. And so first, they give him hatra'ah in front of three dayanim, and then those three are malkim oto. Now, what is Rashi says, the hasra that we're talking about over here is not the hasra of to be mechayev him malkus, because it's not a particular iser that he's doing. So what would we tell him? Don't eat that food? Is that what we're telling him? It must be that the Asrov here is part of the din of the Ben Sorer Umore, and that it's only where the parents did their best to stop him and made it very clear to him that, you know, what's going to happen to you, boy, if you keep up with this lifestyle. That's how Rashi says Beferish here, and it's interesting that the Rambam says Beferish, not like that. He brings this halacha as Mevi'im Shnei Edim, Sheganav, v'kana basar v'yayim b'ma sheganav v'chalota achila achar hatra'ah. That this was done only after they warned him about this. So that would mean that the Rambam understands the hatra'ah to be the hatra'ah on the achila, the original achila. And afterwards, where it says, if after that, and we give him malchus first time, we beat him up to try to get him off of this, if he goes back and does it, the Rambam again says, Acharei shehit rubo, and we have another edus that he went back and did it again. That's when we bring him to the Bezdin of Esrim v'Shlosha. We also need hatra'ah. According to Rambam, it's part of the normal din of hatra'ah. And chozar v'kilkel, nidon be'esrim v'Shlosha, if he goes back and does this again, then we bring him to the Bezdin, a Sanhedrin of Chiyav Misa, which is a Bezdin of Esrim v'Shlosha, and Eino Niskal. But an interesting halacha is that three out of those 23 Dayanim had to have been the original three Dayanim that beat him up the first time and gave him Malkus. Shenemar b'neinu ze. This boy, meaning you know him, zeu shelaka b'fnechem. So they have to be part of the other best. Now you remember that we had before a general question, which is, do we need be'inan kra kedechtiv or not? When a pasuk says something, does it mean precisely the way that it's written and was meant to take that totally literally? So they have to grab him, so they have to have hands, and they have to drag him, so they have to have feet. I mean, why would we say that a pasuk is meant to be taken literally? That was a big machlokas about whether, you know, it's just describing the events. It's not making a stickler issue out of any of those points. So this Mishnah seems to make it very clear that the halacha is like a man d'amar who holds being on krokid ichtiv, like we had before. Says the Gemara, no, because this pasuk is different. The entire pasuk is ridiculous. If there is a chiyuv for being a ben sora umora, what is all of this mishigas about the mother and the father and they drag him and they take him? Like, what do I care how he gets to court? What, you're going to tell me in every time that the Torah says, if somebody does something, it has to give us the whole story, right? So if you're supposed to not be wearing kelayim and then somebody comes and goes into the court and is made and gave you hasra. They're like, I mean, well, obviously, whatever the dinim are, I mean, somehow or other you got to court. If you're telling me precisely what happened to get this kid into court, it must mean that the whole point over here is to create this ridiculous scenario, which, as we said, is the reason that it doesn't mean. It's fascinating because the very fact that it means exactly what it means is the proof that it can't mean what it means. That's what we're saying. That's why it was law yavalo nivra. Because in this case, bina kra kirechtiva, because it's a krayatera. Okay, then it says in front of three. I never heard of hasra being in front of three. Lonali. I mean, usually hatra is in front of two. Amrabai, yes, yes, of course. That's what it means. There's two witnesses, and the malchus takes place in the front of a bezdin that only consists of three. But where does it say anything about malchus? Well, it says over here we beat him up. Where does it say that he gets malchus? Malchus ben sorel more hechekativa. I mean, he didn't do anything that the Torah says you're not allowed to do that, and if you do that, you're going to be chayav malchus. So how do you explain the fact that he would get malchus bechalal? It doesn't say it anywhere. Ah, that's actually a fascinating limud that Rabbi Abo learned out from the din of a motzi shemra. So remember the din of a motzi shemra? He gets married to this woman, and he claims that she wasn't a virgin. They must have slept with somebody after they had already had kedushin. Anyway, so it says over there, v'yisruoto, it says the same exact lashon as it says over here. That then the father would come along and says, "Usamla alilot varim, lemor lo matzati lebitcha betulim, ve'ela betulei biti," and it says, "Velakhu ziknei ha'ir et ha'ishahu v'yisruoto." They should yisruoto. Now it's not clear what the yisruoto means. It means give him pain. So I'm going to show you that that means specifically, ultimately, that he gets malchus. First of all, it says over here, by the din of the ben sorer umore, so here it uses exactly that language. Okay, so I learned that these two v'yisruotos are the same type of v'yisruoto. Now, can I prove that yisruoto in both of these cases mean malchus? Yes, I can. Because in the pasuk about the ben sorer umore, it says the word, the bain, it says. So I'm also going to connect Yisru to bain. And bain, I find in the essence of the pasuk that describes Malchus, because it says, V'haya im bain hakot harasha. So then if Ben Sorer HaMoreh is similar to the Ben of the Gezeirah Shavah to Imbin HaKot HaRasha, and Visru appears in the Ben Sorer HaMoreh and also in the Motzi Shemra, so now I know that both of those Visrus are a reference to Malkus. Okay, continues the Mishnah, Chazar VeKilkel Nidon BeEsrim VeShlosha. If there's further misdeeds on his part, then we take him to the Beis Din of Esrim VeShlosha, but we need three of the original Dayanim to be part of that Beis Din. And you said that the way we know that is because it says B'neinu Zeh, which means that you recognize him, it's the same kid that you beat up before, and here he is back. But the problem is that we already use that word to tell me that they can't be blind, right? Remember, we said, B'neinu Zeh, B'lo Sunim. So how can you use it for two different things? Because, in fact, there's two different things. Because if all that we needed to prove is that we need three of the original people to be part of the Dayanim of the Esrim V'Shlosha, we didn't need to say Zeh. They don't need to see him. They need to know that it's him. They could have said, B'neinu Hu, Ben Sorer HaMoreh, instead of simply saying, B'neinu Ben Sorer HaMoreh. So we're saying, B'neinu Hu, you know who he is. That's who he is. That would have been enough. But if you say it this way, B'neinu Zeh, that means that you are pointing to him, and you can identify him. B'neinu Zeh, the one I'm pointing to, well, if you're blind, you're not going to be able to point to him. So my B'neinu Zeh, Shema Mina Tarte. Now this proves both of the dinim, that you need to have three of the original dayanim, and that the parents cannot be blind. And this takes us once again right back into that site of that original dangerous place, Sir Richard's pizza parlor. Go for it, Sir Richard. You're on today. Heavy duty. Overworked. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're not careful, because Zoom has been gradually bringing you closer and closer to Doc, no matter what you think on your iPad screen, we know what's happening. And actually, the truth is, if I were Menachem Sklar, I'd get out of the way because, I mean, you know, Doc's hypodermic could go right through that screen. Go ahead, Rich. I'd advise you to move. Excellent. All right. So now remember, we've got this 3-month period maximum to be the Ben Sorer HaMoreh, right? So it's whatever comes first, either that he completely fills out his pubic hair, or he's a slow developer, but it's been 3 months since he reached puberty. Now, what happens if he manages to run away from the court? So he was Barach, and he was in the middle of the trial, and he excuses himself, I need to go to the bathroom, jumps out of a window, and is not seen again. So Barach at Shelo Nigmar Dino. So he runs away before they paskin that he's chayiv, and then before they caught him, achar kach he keeps zakan. He got to the point where he keeps zakan atachton, and at this point he's no longer roi to be a ben sorer HaMoreh. What happens? Well, in that case, since you didn't find him to be chayiv as a ben sorer HaMoreh while he was shayach, he is putter now from a ben sorer HaMoreh, because he could not now become a Ben Sorer HaMoreh because he's too developed to be a Ben Sorer HaMoreh. But if he was first found already chayiv, and the Beis Din said that he's supposed to be niskal, and then he jumps out of the window, and then before he's recaptured, achar kach hikiv zakan atachton, then he would be chayiv because once it was already paskened, it's as if it was already carried out, as we'll see. Omer Rabbi Chanina, I have an interesting halacha to you, and that seems to be very nogea this Mishnah. Suppose someone is a Ben Noach, he's not Jewish, and he was Mevorech as Hashem, so he blasphemed, and achar kach nitgayer. Then he becomes a ger, and now he is brought to Beis Din. So what's the din? Halacha is, I say, that he would be putter. Why? Because all v'nishtane dino v'nishtaneit mitato. Look, he's no longer part of the entire set of legalities that were applicable at the time that he did the Avera that he did. When he did that Avera, and he was a Ben Noach, so the halacha over there is, first of all, you don't need Hatra'ah. Secondly, you don't need two Eidim. It's enough to have one Eid. Thirdly, he does not need to be in a Bezdin of Esrim V'Shlosha. It's enough if there's a Dayan Echad to be done a Ben Noach. Fourthly, there's no Din Avid Silula Eida. And so on and so forth. I mean, there's so many inyonim that are different in the whole legal procedures. And not only are the procedures different, the din is different, because nishtanet mitato. He would have been chayev if he was found to be a Ben Noach. Remember, the only misa that was applicable to Ben Noach, according to the Chachamim, is Davka Sayef. But if we're going to try him now as a Jew, then the chayev would be Skila. So what are we supposed to do? The person that had done the chait is no longer available, essentially. And we can't don him under those original legal set of rules and misa. But we can't call him chayev as a Ben Yisrael because he didn't do it as a Ben Yisrael and wasn't chayev even in the same misa. So how could we give him skila when he didn't do something that would be chayev skila? So therefore, there's nothing to do about it. He is potter, says Rabbi Hanina. Ah, now that seems to relate to our Mishnah. Neima misayeli. It appears to be that our Mishnah is saying the same basic din. Because here it says, if the boy jumps out of a window, achelo nigmar dino, and now he becomes subject to a different set of rules, because at this point, by the time he's recaptured, he now is hikiv zakana tachto, now he is an ish, he's no longer a ben. So now he would be putter. I'm assuming, why would he be putter? My taima must be because of the very thing that Rabbi Hanina pointed out. La mishum damrinan, hoel v'ishtenei ishtenei. He is now changed, he's no longer subject to that misa, he's no longer subject to those dinim. I mean, it's clearly that there's no way to reinstitute the legalities now that he is part of a completely different system of law, for all intents and purposes, a system of law that doesn't recognize anything wrong about eating a tarte mar of basar, and doesn't recognize that you're supposed to kill someone for stealing a couple of cents from his father or whatever. So that's Rabbi Hanina's point, right? No, no, it's not the same at all. Over here, if he would do what he did as a child when he was still within those 3 months, then if he would do it now, nothing at all would happen to him. It's not a question of different. It's nothing. So there's absolutely no chiyuv. How could we apply to a person to whom an application of misa for eating meat and drinking wine is absurd? So of course over there we can't. But this is Rabbi Hanina on steroids. This is not Rabbi Hanina's din. Rabbi Hanina was saying that if the type of misa changed and the type of procedure changed, that's enough for us to say this is such a profound change, there's no way for us to retry him. But over here, everybody would agree to Rabbi Hanina because he's not chayiv in any way. That's not the same as Rabbi Hanina. We're over there. If this previous Ben Noach now would do the same Avera, and he would be Mivorech as Hashem, he would be even more Chayev. I mean, he would be Chayev's Skila, you know? So, why do you say that this is a riot to Rabbi Hanina? As a matter of fact, I think that the Mishnah disproves Rabbi Hanina, because the next line in the Mishnah says, Toshma, im mishenigmar dino barach, here it says, if he jumps out of the window after the court had already paskin that he's chayev, that then we would carry it out. But, I mean, according to Rabbi Hanina, why would we carry it out? He's now in a totally different legal state, right? No, come on, that's not true. Rabbi Hanina would agree that if it was Nigmar Dino is not that we need to retry him. It means that we need to carry out what was already determined. which is a totally different issue, of course. So Nigmar Dino, comrade? Well, you're going to bring me a raya against Rebbe Hanina from the Mishnah about Nigmar Dino. Nigmar Dino is as if he's already dead, and we don't have to retry him. So in Rebbe Hanina didn't say that they had already been Machai of him. Over there, if we had already been Machai of him, so then Enoch and Armi would already be Machai of him. We would have maybe actually killed him, and vice versa. The Mishnah that says of your Nigmar Dino, he's killed, might very well agree with Rebbe Hanina, and in the case of the Ben Noah, where it wasn't Nigmar Dino, he wouldn't be killed. Okay, I think there's a braita that definitely shows that Rebbe Hanina is wrong. Tashma, Ben Noah shikat chaviro, or Baal eshet chaviro. So a Ben Noah murders a friend, or he sleeps with this friend's, well, he was a friend once upon a time, sleeps with his friend's wife. So then he comes along, and he's nizgayah. He is now potter. So you are not able to give him misa now, but if he had killed a Jew originally, or he had slept with the Jewish wife, then what he did is something that is mechayev even after he becomes a ger, and then he would be chayev. Now, that does not work according to Rebbe Hanina, because according to Rebbe Hanina, he should say, it's all very nice to say that the sin that he did should be applicable, but his dinim have completely changed. It would be a different chiev. It would be a different need for a bezdin of chof gimel versus one, or a bezdin, remember how we put it, eda, edut, and asra. All of that is different. So according to Rebbe Hanina, even though the chet that he did is still applicable, but the laws about that chet and the misa is not applicable, right? No, not right. If you looked carefully at what Rabbi Hanina said two things. His system of dinim, so the judicial procedures of requiring chof gimel and two edim and asra, etc., has to change. And so does the misa that he's chayev have to be different. In this case, those two things did not happen. It's true that everything changed about requiring edus and edah and asra, all of those things, yes. Those are different, but it's exactly the same misa that he would have been chayev before. So that you would be chayev for both of these cases, is what it seems to be saying. You'd be chayev for both of these cases as a ben neach who murdered, as for a Jew who murdered, or as a ben noach who committed adultery, as a Jew who committed adultery. So there wasn't a change in the misa. And then, wait a minute, that's not true. I mean, yes, the murder, it's true, because when he was a Ben Noach, so the din of all things of Ben Noach is always Sayef, right? So Stam Mises Ben Noach is always Sayef. There's no Arba Mises Bezen that apply to a Ben Noach. That's true. That before it was Sayef, and now if he would do it, it would be Sayef. And that's why Rebbe Hanina would not apply to the case of the murder. But it says if he committed adultery. It says, Eish is Eish. Well, if he had still been a Ben Noach, he would have been Chayev Sayef, right? And now, if he takes an Eish is Eish, he is Chayev Chenek. So it's a different Misa. And therefore, according to Rabbi Hanina, he should be Potter. Well, no, wait a minute. What we might be talking about over here is a case of a Na'ara HaMa'urasa. Remember we said before that if a Ben Noach does a chet that does not have a Ben Noach equivalent, and what would that be? A Na'ara Mu'urasa. Because there's no such thing as Mu'urasa to a Ben Noach. They don't have Kiddushin. They only have, remember, Be'ulat Baal, which we learn from the story of Avram and Avimelech. So she's not a Be'ulat Baal. She's only an Arusa. So we said over there that din is that in such cases, we give him, even as a Ben Noach, we give him the chiev that he would have had if he were a Yisrael, because there is no equivalent chiev for a Ben Noach. So then he's Nidon Ki Yisrael. That's what we learned before. So that would mean that even before as a Ben Noach, the case of Nara Amurasa, of a Jewish Nara Amurasa, would be Mechayev him Skila. And now it's also Mechayev him Skila. So that would mean that Rabbi Chanina's condition for pottering him, which is that it needs to be a different Chi of Misa, we don't have that here. It would be the same Chi of Misa. But no, that doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why. Because what we're saying over here is that if he does this as a Ben Noach to a Ben Noach, then X, right? But if he does that to a Yisrael, then Y. Well, I got news for you. You cannot do an Ara Murasa to a Ben Noach because there's no such thing as an Ara Murasa. As a Ben Noach, they don't have Kedushin. So don't try to give me this. You can't switch out on me the cases in the middle. We juxtaposed two things. We said, if what he did was to a Ben Noach, but if he did what he did, the same thing to a Ben Yisrael, there's no way that it could be the same thing because there's no such thing. So Asa Kain Bi Yisrael means that he did to a Yisrael what previously we said he did to his Chaver, who's a Ben Noach. And that would be Dumia de Eshes Chaver El Katani, which means that we cannot be talking about a Nara Murasa. We must be talking about a married woman. So now that would mean that there's a different Misa. Okay, doesn't bother me. What's the different Misa? Huh? What's different Misa now? The different Misa is now he's Chayev Chenek, right? And before he was Chayev Sayef. Which one is more chomer, according to our Mishnah? Arba Misa's Besdin. Sayef is more chomer than Chenek. So for heaven's sake, if it would have been a more chomer Misa, then obviously that's not called changing the Misa, because a lesser Chi of Misa is included and subsumed by the greater Chi of Misa. So you can't say that that's a change in the status of his Misa. So once again, you only have a change in the status of the Dinim, but you do not have a change in the status of the Misa. Even Rabbi Chanina would agree in this case that here we will be Danim for what he did before, because the Misa wasn't changed. It's changed in the sense of being more kal, but I mean, that's not a change. That is already subsumed by the Morchia Misa. Ah, but wait a minute. Not everybody agrees that Sayef is the more chomer Misa. What about according to Rabbi Shimon? Tahani chal Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say Sayef is chomer. True. But remember, Rabbi Shimon reversed the order, and he said Chenek is more chomer than Sayef. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, there would be no way that Rabbi Chanina could say that he should be Chayev, he should be Potter. So what are we going to do according to him? Huh. Rabbi Shimon, he holds, remember, like the Tana Devei Menashe, like we said before. The Tana Devei Menashe very conveniently hold that the Stam Misa of a Ben Noach is always Chenek, not Sayef. So it works out perfectly well. Before as a Ben Noach, he would have been Chayev Chenek, and now taking him as a Jew, he's still Chayev Chenek. So it works out perfect. Okay, fine. It works out perfect, the part about the Eishes Ish. Okay, so the Eishes Ish was initially Chenek when he was a Goy, and now it's Chenek because it's the same Chiev on a Ben Yisrael who commits adultery. But now the other case that you said where he killed his friend, now it's not the same. Because originally, what would have been the din, according to Rabbi Shimon, he would have been Chayev Chenek for murdering his friend who was a Ben Noach. And now he's Chayev Sayef because now he's a Ben Yisrael. And it says over here that he is Nerag. And according to Rabbi Chanina, it's a different din, and it's a different Misa. Yeah, but I already explained to you. Since according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a more kal. Kal, the chamura is mishach shayach, and according to Rabbi Shimon, chenek is more chomer than sayach. So that's fine. If he would have been chayev, a more chomer chayev, then that includes the lesser chayev. See, even Rabbi Chanina would hold that we're supposed to be mechayev, and because there was no change in his chayev misa in a way that would say, we can't give him a more chomer. It's not a more chomer. It's a more kal. Okay, so we have not been able to show that Rabbi Hanina made a mistake from any of the Braitot. Actually, it seems that we have found a Braita that backs him up. Lema misayeli. In the case of a Nara HaMu'urasa, who first was Sorcha, so she went ahead, she went and slept with this guy as a Nara HaMu'urasa, and then before we could take her to court, she became a Bogeret. So what happens to her? Now she's changed. She's the same as the Ben Sora Umora, who became, so to speak, a Boger, in other words, 3 months later. So now he is like a Nara HaMu'urasa. Remember, we pointed out, it's very strange that we have a puberty division by a male the same way we have by a female. We never saw that before. We always knew that there was a difference between a Gedola and a female who was a Nara, and a Gedola and a female who was a Bogeret, but we never had such a concept in a male. And over here, Dafka, this Ben Sora Mora, which keeps coming up, its connection to Nara HaMu'urasa is fascinating because it really is a parallel kind of idea. So if this Nara HaMu'urasa changed, and she changes in terms of puberty, she becomes a Bogeret. And it says over there, which is the equivalent case to Rabbi Hanina's case of changing in terms of puberty of the Ben Sora Mora who ran away and now became an Ish. So then it says over here that then she's given the same onesh that we would give to a Bogeret. And she's not an Nara HaMu'urasa anymore, and we give her chenek, which is the standard misa for adultery. So now, why does the Braita say that we don't give her the skila? She did the Avera as a Nara HaMu'urasa, obviously because of Rabbi Hanina, right? It must be because since she no longer is capable of being a Nara HaMu'urasa, so now she's going to have a completely different chiyuv, which is chenek. And before, it was the chiyuv of the Nara HaMu'urasa of skila. And that shows that once she's ishtene, so then, hove ishtene, ishtene. So if you are now in a different state, and over here the different state is not a different legal system, but it's a different state because she's physically a completely different person and has a different misa, which would be koshikin. If we would meet the requirements of Rabbi Hanina's change, where the entire system of justice has changed because he became a ger, so apparently Rabbi Hanina is right. Yeah, it would be right, except for the unfortunate fact that when Rabbi Yochanan heard this braita from a Tana, he said to him, "You got this braita all messed up, buddy. Change your girsa. The correct girsa is tidon biskila, that this Nara HaMu'urasa, even though now she's a Bogeret, she should be given skila." So that obviously cannot be a riot, Rabbi Hanina. It's not a kasha on Rabbi Hanina, because remember, the justice system is the same, and it may well be that the physical change is not the full equivalent of saying that the justice system is a change, but it certainly is not a raya to Rabbi Hanina. So we're left with Rabbi Hanina's idea, which is a fascinating idea, of how it is that a justice system is so definitive that it actually will make it possible for the person who has changed and moved out of that system to be completely pater, because he was never mitchayev within one system of justice, and we cannot carry out the din of the original system of justice is no longer applicable to him because of the change. That is a remarkable idea, and it certainly changes a lot of what we were thinking about in Mishpatim, about the nature of Lifneihem, the Lifnei Akum, and the concept of what a system of justice is. It has remarkable implications, which gives you a lot of drosh v'kabel sachar. Okay, gentlemen, that's been wonderful. Kol tov, everyone.